made new, and we are made new. And it is without his death. And man, I would encourage you guys to go find something, maybe on YouTube or go watch The Passion or something to get you connected with what actually took place on that glorious yet hideous day. And the reason I say that is because I think sometimes we can go through days like Easter, days like Christmas, you know, Jesus was born. Oh, that's so cute. You know, we imagine him in a manger, but no, that changed everything. Okay. Jesus died on a cross. Jesus rose again. Hallelujah. Right. But to actually envision and get to see and have a personal connection with it. Not just I come to church and this is just another Sunday, but actually there's a personal connection with it. And I want to read in Luke, the account of Luke. This is Jesus on the cross, and many of us know that there was two gentlemen, two criminals next to him that was also crucified. And you got to think that the cross was reserved for people that did crazy things, right? People that did awful things. So Jesus is in the middle of these two, and one of them is almost mocking, like, "Hey, can't you get us down too?" And the other one's like, "Don't you know who you're talking to?" And I want to read this in Luke 23, verse 40. But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the scandal of grace. We can live our life however we want. And then when we truly repent, Jesus saves us. I don't know about you guys. I'm not going to bank on myself making it to 90, 95 to give my life to Jesus in hopes that, well, I can live however I want. And then hopefully when I'm in my ripe old age on my deathbed, I can give my life to Jesus. I'm going to live for him now. Knowing that I'm not promised tomorrow, knowing that any one of us can leave this parking lot and unfortunately see our last day, knowing that today I'm serving him and that if I were to meet him today, I would meet him. It's through the cross that saves us. I wrote in my Bible under this, his grace places us in the correct place. His grace places us in the correct place. So this morning, we're here in celebration of everything that was done on the cross, celebration that he is no longer dead, but that he is alive, right? That we are no longer dead, but that we are alive, right? That sin that we're struggling with, that sin that we've laid down, it is dead with him on the cross, and we get to rise as a new creation. That is what we're here to celebrate this morning. And so I'm going to encourage you guys with this, that as we worship today, that we would maybe sing a little bit louder. We would lift our hands a little bit higher and that we would recognize in our heart of hearts that our King, that Jesus came to do a new thing in us. And that this doesn't have to be just any other day, that this day can be a new day, that you could live out your days forever with him. Would you guys stand to your feet as I pray? And let me just challenge you again. I'm just full of challenges this morning. Let's just put all distractions aside. Put your phone on do not disturb. Turn your phone off. Man, in a day where if the enemy can't get us to stop believing, I guarantee what he'll do, he'll get us distracted. And I promise you today, there's a million things that can wait for the next hour if we could just focus on him right now. That we would just say, God, I'm here with you. I'm focused on you. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you for the cross. We thank you that what you did, Lord, and you said it is finished, that it is finished, God. That all the things, Lord, that we struggle with, all the things, God, that we put us away from you, God, that you restored us, Jesus, that we are made a new creation today. God, I pray for hearts this morning, hearts, Lord, that would be postured towards you, God, that we would not be focused on anything but you, God. We would not be focused on what happened yesterday, what happened this morning, what's happening tomorrow, God, what's even happening after church today, God. We would focus on you in this very moment today, Jesus. Lord, stir up your children today, God. Stir up the saints right now, God. Lord, allow their hearts, God, to beat for you, Jesus. Jesus, I thank you so much for what you endured for me. For what you endured for me. Lord, that you had my name in mind when you went to the cross. Lord, that you had my face in your mind when you went to the cross. That you knew that it would be worth it. You knew that every blood that would be dropping from your body, every nail that you took, that it would be worth it. And Lord, I thank you that as you rose again, that we rise. Lord, that we rise with you, that you reserve a seat for me. And God, I thank you that there is nothing we can do to gain more of you. There's nothing we can do to earn this. There's nothing that we can do to even deserve this, God. But it is your love. It is by your love that we are saved, that we are made new. Right now, God, let's ready our minds, God, to receive what you have for us today, God. Let us come before you and lay down anything and everything. Jesus, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. The altar is open, family. If you want to come before the Lord and lay something down, I would encourage you. I believe God is stirring people up this morning.
nothing's more real than this. In the presence of God, oh, what my heart experienced when my shame hit the wayside and my sin met the Most High. I was washed from the inside. I've been washed from the inside out.
Forgiven, justified, really living. Let me
tell you it's only by the blood. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Though it was the blood, it could have only been the blood. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, it was your blood. It's only by the blood. It's only by the blood. Deserve it, could have only been the blood. I don't deserve it, I couldn't earn it. It was you, God. Oh, I don't deserve it, I couldn't earn it, even if I tried. before you, you silence the pulse of sin and greed. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. Oh, and you have no rival, oh, you have no equal, and now and forever, God, you reign. Oh, yours is the kingdom, and yours is the glory, oh, yours is the name above all names. And of your glory, oh, for you are raised to life again. Sing death, oh, death could not hold you, oh, the veil tore before you, you silenced the boast of sin and greed. Oh, the heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory. Of your glory. what a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against what a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. Sing again. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my what a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against what a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. come. Your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is a light forever lifted high. Your name.
Singing about his name. Just want us to focus a moment on the power of that name. Yes, it's a beautiful name. It's a powerful name. But what Jesus did for us is he made it so that we're in his name. Made it so that we don't have to just declare his name and speak his name, but we can live and move and exist in his name, in the power of his name. Jesus, thank you for your name. Thank you, Lord, that we're in you, Lord. We're in your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that the power of that name, Lord, that we can declare, Lord, that we can identify with, Lord, that we'd realize, Lord, that it's a name that we're in. It's in your name. It's in you, Jesus, that we live. It's in you, Lord Jesus, that we exist, Lord Jesus, now. Jesus. Just join in with me and we're just going to just quietly say his name. Jesus. Jesus. Life giver. Jesus. Lamb of God. Jesus. Bright morning star. Jesus. My healer. Jesus. My salvation. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that name. Thank you for the name that's above every other name. Thank you for the name that we can identify with. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, we're going to have the children. No, we're not going to have the children come up. Eric's going to do it. Okay, Eric, you're going to do it. Sorry.
Well, we do have a few announcements. If I can get his iPad there, that'd be great. It's hard to transition from something like that. But I'm telling you guys, Jesus is in the room and he wants to encounter you. So keep your hearts open. So men's breakfast is next. Is this next Saturday? Next Saturday. And it'll be here for the men, obviously. So, you know, I always say, men, put it in your calendars, make it a priority. Come connect with us, come hang out, come eat some good food and hear a good word. That's here at 8:30 next Saturday. And then as well next Saturday, we're having our first prayer, house prayer of the month at the Lindell home. It's at 6:30. These have been powerful, powerful things that we've been going after. And so if you have not been able to make it, I would highly encourage you to try to make it to at least one of these, you know, every so often. This is the heart of the house. This is the heart of what we're going after in Jesus' name. And so Pastor will send out the info and address if you don't know where that is this week. And then thank you guys for giving to the house of God. You know, you can give here as well as in the back, as well as online. And then last but not least, if I could have all of our little children come up, and we're going to do something just a little bit different. All right, children, I'm going to have you guys sit right here. Facing Gigi, okay? So you guys can sit on the ground here. We have something special for you guys.
You guys, we're going to have a little story time, and Mom and Dad are going to listen with this, okay? This is a book that I absolutely adore. It's called The Three Trees, okay? Have you heard of it? You have? How wonderful. Here we go. Once upon a mountaintop, three little trees stood and dreamed of what they wanted to become when they grew up. Babe, could you bring this over here and I can just put it at my face? That would be even better. So sorry. We'll get this together sooner or later. Perfection. Thank you. So did you see that picture, you guys? Okay. Mom and Dad, there you go. All right, next page. Sorry. The first little tree looked up at the stars twinkling like diamonds above him. I want to hold treasure, he said. I want to be covered with gold and filled with beautiful precious stones. I will be the most beautiful treasure chest in the world. The second little tree looked out at the small stream trickling by on its way to the ocean. I want to be a strong sailing ship, he said. I want to travel mighty waters and carry powerful kings. I will be the strongest ship in the world. The third little tree looked down into the valley below where busy men and busy women worked in a busy town. I don't want to leave this mountaintop at all, she said. I want to grow so tall that when people stop to look at me, they will raise their eyes to heaven and think of God. I will be the tallest tree in the world. Years passed, the rains came, the sun shone, and the little trees grew tall. One day, three woodcutters climbed the mountain. The first woodcutter looked at the first tree and said, "This tree is beautiful. It is perfect for me." With a swoop of his shiny axe, the first tree fell. "Now I shall be made into a beautiful chest," thought the first tree. "I shall hold wonderful treasures." Let's see, he's chopping down the tree right here. See that? The second woodcutter looked at the second tree and said, "This tree is strong. It's perfect for me." With a swoop of his shiny axe, the second tree fell. "Now I shall sell mighty waters throughout this." "Now I shall sell mighty waters," thought the second tree. "I shall be a strong ship fit for kings." The third tree felt her heart sink in her. She thought, "No, he's not going to touch me." She stood straight and tall and pointed bravely to heaven, but the woodcutter never even saw or looked up. "Any kind of tree will do for me," he muttered with a swoop of his shiny axe. The third tree fell. The first tree rejoiced when the woodcutter brought him to the carpenter shop, but the busy carpenter was not thinking about treasure chests. Instead, his work-worn hands fashioned the tree into a feed box for animals. The once beautiful tree was not covered with gold or filled with treasure. He was coated with sawdust and filled with hay for hungry farm animals. See that? See that? The second tree smiled when the woodcutter took him to the shipyard, but no mighty sailing ships were being made that day. Instead, the once strong tree was hammered and sawed into a simple fishing boat, too small and too weak to sail an ocean or even a river. He was taken to a little lake. Every day he brought in loads of dead, smelly fish. The third tree was confused when the woodcutter cut her into strong beams and left her in the lumberyard. "What happened?" the once tall tree wondered. "All I've ever wanted to do was stay on the mountaintop and point to God." Many, many days and nights passed. The three trees nearly forgot their dreams, but one night a golden starlight poured over the first tree as a young woman placed her newborn baby in the feed box. "I wish I could make a cradle for him," her husband whispered. The mother squeezed his hand and smiled as the starlight shone on the smooth and sturdy wood. "This manger is beautiful," she said, and suddenly the first tree knew he was holding the greatest treasure of the world. Sorry. One evening, a tired traveler and his friends crowded into an old fishing boat. The traveler fell asleep as the second tree quietly sailed out into the lake. Soon a thundering and thrashing storm arose. The little tree shuddered. He knew he did not have the strength to carry so many passengers safely through the wind and rain. The tired man awakened. He stood up, stretched out his hand, and said, "Peace." The storm stopped as quickly as it had begun, and suddenly the second tree knew he was carrying the King of heaven and earth. On Friday morning, the third tree was startled when her beams were yanked from the forgotten woodpile. She flinched as she was carried through an angry, jeering crowd. She shuddered when soldiers nailed a man's hands on her. She felt ugly and harsh and cruel. But on Sunday morning, when the sun rose and the earth trembled with joy beneath her, the third tree knew that God's love had changed everything. It made the first tree beautiful. It had made the second tree strong. And every time people thought of the third tree, they would think of God. That was better than being the tallest tree in the world. Wasn't that good? Did you like that? Okay, come up here. Stand up, kids. Come see Gigi. Come here. Come on. You can come stand by Susie. Let's pray for them, shall we? Father, we thank you for these precious babies. We thank you, God, for your love, that they have wonderful mommies and daddies that would bring them to church to hear about you. Today, as they go down to have their wonderful fun day, I pray that you would be with them. And Father, I pray you'd help them remember this story, that everything that we do needs to point to Jesus. I thank you for each one of these sweet babies in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Get situated here. Is it that side? It'll work. Mix it up, right? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So today we're going to talk about Easter expectations. And the key phrase that jumped out to me this week when I was thinking about sharing is that he is not here. And how many of you get the U version of the Bible? Well, I get it, like, it sends me the verse that morning. And all of a sudden, I opened up the U version verse for the day, and exactly what we have here, he is not here. And so, let's go ahead and start. We'll read Mark. Oops. Sorry, my facial recognition isn't working at this angle. There we go. Do you want to go and read it, bro?
Sure. It's Mark 16, 1 through 6. It says, Saturday evening when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very clearly on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they were asking each other, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? But as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the tomb, which was very large, had already been rolled away or aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body.
So the scene is the scene after Jesus has been put in the tomb. These women said that they were with him the day that he was put in the tomb, so they knew exactly where he was. They saw how large this stone was. They knew that there was going to be a situation where they were going to need somebody to roll away this stone. But they were not coming to see resurrected Jesus. They were coming. Their expectation was to see a dead body lying there, and they were going to add more spices so that it would preserve his body. They were coming to memorialize Jesus. They were coming to honor him in his death, and they had a surprise. Their Easter expectations were low. They were just going to love on the one that loved them. Yet God had something else in mind.
It's kind of like people coming to church on a Sunday morning, not expecting to meet Jesus.
Yeah.
And this is why I'm always going to, I'm going to die on this hill, for lack of a better term, that church can no longer be just a gathering that we come to out of routine. It may start that way, but you guys, when we gather with the saints, we are here to get equipped, and we are here to encounter a real Father.
Yeah.
It has to be so much more. The world needs believers that are going to enter into the house of God, ready to receive him, ready to be equipped, ready to leave this place stirred up for God. Your families, your workplaces, your schools, your environment that you're in, it needs a stirred up church.
Amen.
Ready to encounter Jesus.
Yep. The idea that they were coming to be with Jesus, even though it was just to honor him in his death. Sometimes as Christians, like Eric was saying, we live our Christian life where we are basically living off of Jesus' just death.
Yeah.
And that we're saved through the cross and his blood, everything we sang about. But he rose. And as we'll see by many scriptures, that resurrection directly is supposed to affect our lives. It's not supposed to be something that we just say, well, someday I'm going to rise with the Lord and be seated in heavenly places. No, it says now we're seated in heavenly places because he has been resurrected. And so let's go ahead and look at Matthew. This is another area in the Bible where it talks about his resurrection. This is verses 6 through 9.
Yeah, so it says, he is not here, for he is risen. And he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him.
So in Matthew, we see this event that takes place that isn't necessarily communicated in Mark, that they get to see the resurrected Jesus, and they literally cling to him and hold on to him and worship him. And I think their Easter expectations had changed. Wouldn't you say? There's something about when we connect with the resurrected Jesus that changes our day. When we connect with the resurrected power of God in our prayer life, in our reading the word, in our devotions, it changes us. Amen. And it changes how we view Jesus himself. Amen. Because when you enter into a true intimate relationship with him, something happens inside. So I encourage all of us to not just think of Jesus as from you read him in the book. You know, it's so easy. You know, Paul says this radical statement that we're not to know each other by the flesh, but we're to know each other by the Spirit. I don't always measure up to that. It seems like I do better with that with people that I meet every now and then.
Yeah.
But the closer I get to people, the more I tend to know them as in their flesh.
Yeah.
It's really easy to do that with our kids because, you know, we raise them, we know them, you know, we know how they operate and everything. But we miss sometimes what's going on in their spirit.
Yeah.
Well, he goes on to say, for we know Jesus by the flesh at one point, but we do no longer know him that way. In other words, we're not to know Jesus after his flesh. I mean, well, you read all the Gospels, and that's how we're knowing Jesus. We're knowing how he raised Lazarus from the dead. We know that he raised the widow who lost her only son, raised him from the dead. We know that he healed many people of leprosy. We see all this, and we see Jesus' earthly ministry, and sometimes we limit our expectations to that. That he had an earthly ministry, that yes, he'll touch my body, he'll heal my body, but there's so much going on more to us as believers that should be evident in us, and that's the resurrection power of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right. And then Mark 16:9-11, let's see how the disciples deal with this
resurrected Jesus.
Yeah, it says, so now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went out and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe.
And when they had heard that he was alive, they did not believe. Even though he was seen by her. This is an eyewitness saying, I have seen the resurrected Christ. Mm-hmm. They didn't believe. I think there's hope for us, wouldn't you say? If you think about it, you know, they were walking with him for 3 years. They had heard multiple times that he was going to die and that he was going to be resurrected. Now, it's the second stage. He did die, but now it says his resurrection. They don't believe. Their Easter expectations were very low. That Sunday morning, they were just hoping that the guards weren't going to come and take them away. Yet Jesus was getting ready to change their perspective. He was getting ready to let them know that this new life that he was living in, this resurrected life, was about to become theirs. And it's become ours. So let's give him a second chance. What happens now?
After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either.
They had a second chance. Strike one, then we got strike two. Yeah, so what's happening here is that Jesus is on the road to the Emmaus with a couple of the believers, and he's talking with them about all the events that took place that weekend, you know, the whole death of Christ, and now that there's people that are saying he's raised from the dead. And then it says that Jesus, who was being disguised, I don't know exactly how, they didn't recognize him, is telling them through the scriptures about himself. He's revealing stories about himself in the Old Testament. And then they sit down and they're getting ready to go to where they're going to go, and he's going to leave. They convince him to stay with them and have some food. And says when he broke the bread, their eyes were opened. They knew who they'd been spending time with. So they go back and they're telling the other disciples, and they don't believe. These disciples' Easter expectations were very low. Can any of you relate to them? Is there any times that you hear, like, maybe in the Word, you read something about Jesus and you say, wow, I mean, that, you know, that was then. Or we read something in the New Testament, you know. I think her name's Tabitha. She gets raised from the dead, you know. You see someone that's healed, and you're dealing with something like what I'm dealing with. You say, Lord, I know you heal, and yet your physical body struggles with that truth. You kind of don't fully believe. There's some unbelief there. Just know that God's willing to work wherever we're at if we approach him, which I'm thankful for. Let's listen to about another disciple that's dealing with some things.
So now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
Do you have anything?
So much. this is kind of the rub with our Christian faith, and I think why a lot of people push back on Christianity. I remember being a 18-year-old sitting with my then girlfriend in the parking lot of my work, and I'm trying to understand Jesus because I'm just logical. I'm just black and white. And so she's trying to explain to me God, I mean, this is in the span of like a 5-minute conversation, and I'm just like, I'll believe. If Jesus just shows up in the physical, I'll believe. And where my head and my heart were just very disconnected from this relationship with God. And it wasn't until months later, maybe even longer, that I was able to encounter the Father. And this word encounter, I mean, it's a church word for sure. Like, we use it a lot in the church. But it's so much more than just like a church throwaway word. It means that we were to like come in like unison with him, like we would encounter him in an intimate and deep way, and we would know him. And it wasn't until I encountered him where I was like he was inside of my heart that I was able to say, oh, this is it. This is what everybody is excited about. Is this Jesus? Is not just this feeling, not just a goosebumps during a pretty worship song, but actually like the overwhelming peace, overwhelming joy, overwhelming all the things inside me right now. This is the thing. I don't have to physically see Jesus, although I want to, although I would love to even today. I don't have to physically see him because I'm encountering him in my heart. And I think where the world, you know, I watch a lot of videos that, you know, of people who evangelize and they go out into the streets and college campuses. And that, this is the constant thing I see the pushback in, is that this is all make-believe. This is all just a fairy tale that you know, is just
just in your head.
Just in your head, just a con, if you will. And in Acts, we see this happen when after all this happens and the disciples are you know, going and spreading the word. And there's a Pharisee, a religious leader, and he tells these stories about like, hey, there's this one gentleman and he had people following him, but then he died. And so they all dispersed. And then another one, and he had followers, and then he died and the people dispersed. And he said, basically talking about Jesus, we're going to see if people disperse, but if not, then it's us fighting against God. And so either this is the biggest con that has ever happened in all of mankind, or Jesus is real. And it's not about physically seeing him. It's not about, you know, being able to fully express it, but it's about having an encounter and being an encounter.
Yeah. I mean, you think about it, how amazing that was for Thomas to be able to put his hand in his palm that had the hole, and in his side where the spear had pierced. And he does it. And he says, oh, man, this is Jesus. You're my resurrected Lord. I believe now. And Jesus says, I'm glad you believe, Thomas. That's so good. It took you physically being able to touch me to believe. But Eric, because you believed that many years ago, you're more blessed than Thomas. Thomas literally got to touch the resurrected Lord. But Jesus himself said, no, you're more blessed than him, Eric, Amen. Because you believed without seeing him. And every one of us sitting in this place who have believed in Christ without seeing him, more and more blessed than even his disciples who walked with him for 3 years, who got to experience the power of Pentecost. We're more blessed because we haven't ever seen him, but we believe. Yeah. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit's the one that helps us believe. I believe.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go ahead and look at what Paul said about the resurrection.
Philippians 3, 8 through 11 says, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead.
This is a radical statement of Paul. He's saying, I want to know him. Mm-hmm. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know the fellowship of his suffering, so that someday however it may happen, and I mean, you would think that Paul would be able to say, I'm all good, but he's got a humility about him. Even in all of his conquests, he's still saying, no, there's more to Jesus. There's more to God. I need to keep a pursuant heart after him so that I may attain the resurrection of the dead.
Amen.
I mean, I'm not about works, guys. Works, your righteousness is nothing before God. Mm. But we always need to be pursuing his righteousness in our life.
Amen.
That means us dying to ourselves. Amen. And our own ways and yielding to his resurrected life in us.
So good.
You know, Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. It's Christ that lives in me. And why does Jesus live in us now? Because his resurrection and his death, burial, and resurrection made it so Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And so that same Spirit that lives in us and raised Jesus from the dead, Romans 8:11, read it.
Yeah, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you.
Can anyone say amen to that?
Yeah, amen.
I mean, do you realize what that is saying? The same Spirit, the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, took his lifeless body, because it was lifeless. I mean, he died. Some people say, well, he was just in a coma. Well, I don't know if you guys know, but most people never survived just even the scourging. They died. He survived that. And we know that he carried his own cross for certain ways, and we know that he was on the cross until 3 p.m. in the afternoon when he gave up his life. He says he released his breath. I don't know if Jesus was ever able to just not die because of the power that was in him, because it says he released his spirit. I mean, they were surprised that he wasn't, that he was dead when he was finally, because it seemed like he was communicating everything, and then next moment he's gone. But he was dead in that tomb. A lifeless grave was happening. And on that third day, Sunday morning, God's expectations, the Father's expectations, the Son's expectations were, this is about to change. This dark day that we're seeing now is about to light up. And lives all over the world changed that day. All over the world.
Can you? Me and Pastor met for coffee this week, and you told me an old illustration Pastor Ken used to say. Can you tell us that?
Yes, you have your Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. And we say, okay, well, the Old Testament is, about for Jesus, and the New Testament is about after Jesus. And we think of that as very easily understood. But I'm here to tell you the whole world changed at the cross, because the way that man thought, the way that caring and loving and sharing and the characteristics of God changed. All you saw before that was conquering and killing and brutalizing mankind. And after the cross, we have countries that try to live civilized, that try to literally care for each other, even though they may not even be Christians. That's God's Spirit in us that's doing that. It's his life in mankind. The cross was literally a demarcation line for a change of the history of mankind. I don't know if you guys know it, but this is 2026, and it's AD, Anno Domini. It literally means the year of our Lord. When we celebrate a new year, we're celebrating another year of our Lord. And the whole world does, right? Everybody says 2026. It's that date is Jesus' date. It changed the world that much. I don't know of any other place that in the world that uses a different calendar. Some of them may have some different dates on their calendar, but it's still 2026 everywhere. That's because Jesus changed history. And is still changing history. He's changing our history with his resurrection power. Lord, I receive life in my mortal body right now in Jesus' name. And then let's read about this other power of the resurrection.
In Romans 6:3-4, Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
So powerful here. In other words, the resurrection power of Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Sunday morning transformation of mankind is evident in our baptism. It is literally, someone was asking me the other day, like, what, tell me about baptism. I'm trying to explain, you know, it's our old man going into the waters of baptism. And we're rising up into a new life. This is the scripture that says that. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And we also read that our old man died in those waters of baptism. Now, some people say, well, I still kind of acted the same after being baptized. That's because you're a work in progress. But the finished work of the cross has power in your life after baptism like never before. Mm-hmm. I remember I was just saved in based on someone telling me about Jesus, and I started following him. Then at church, I started hearing about this thing called baptism. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, so it sounds like something I need to do. But anyway, I still had some things in my life. I wasn't, you know, completely like whole and perfect like I thought I needed to be. So I was going to continue to just, you know, wait until I was completely cleaned up. That's not what you do. Fortunately, I was telling somebody that because they were having a baptism service on New Year's Eve in 1979, 1980. And I said, well, I'm waiting to get baptized because, you know, I'm trying to get my, you know, my life all together. And they looked at me with wisdom and said, no, you don't get your life all together to get baptized. You get baptized to help your life get all together. You're now identifying with the full power of Christ in your life. And so I was baptized that New Year's Eve, a couple hours before midnight. And I remember I went into the waters of baptism, one person, and I rose up and I literally sprung out of the water. There were pastors that were sitting above in chairs, and the water came up so high, it splashed all of them, splashed the guy that just baptized me. And I'm just in there just, you know, going crazy because I realized, even in my early days, that a powerful thing happened. I literally got on the phone that night and called my mom, and I think I had to leave a voicemail, but I basically sang, I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man, yeah. Old things have passed away, I was born again. And so what happened is that the resurrection power of Jesus, see, we're getting back to this resurrection moment, came alive in me in a new way. And about another year and a half later, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that resurrection power again had a new life in me. And I believe this last January, when God stirred my heart about prayer, the resurrection power of Jesus came alive in me again. We were singing, it's all about the blood, and it is all about the blood, but it's also about his resurrection. There would never be a resurrection without the blood. And the blood would not have the power without the resurrection. You need everything. You need the stripes. You need everything Jesus did for us. That's why he so powerfully said on the cross, it is finished. The full work was done. But you say, well, he wasn't resurrected yet. Yeah, but he knew he was going to be resurrected. So in his eyes, it was all finished. Praise God. So he is not here. He's here. But what is your expectation for the resurrection power in your life? Let's not be like the disciples. Even though we start hearing in the church, maybe we start hearing online, things that God starts doing around the world. Don't be an unbelieving believer and say, well, he's just doing it there. No, say, Lord, if you're doing it there, do it in my life. If you're doing it in that church, bless that church and say, do it in our church too. If your power is moving, you're no respecter of person. Let your resurrection power come alive in me. Let it be life-changing to where people don't recognize me. Let's be that so radically in love with Jesus that if people see us, they don't see us, they see Jesus.
Amen? Amen. Go ahead and pray, brother.
Well, Father God, we thank you for your love. Lord. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, that you sent your son to die, Lord, for each and every one of us.
Yes.
Jesus, I pray, Lord, that we would walk, Lord, in your resurrection. We would walk, Lord, as a new creation, Lord, as a son and a daughter, Lord, as you call us, as a friend. Jesus, we love you and we thank you that your blood paid for it all.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus, I just pray, Lord, for healing in this place. I pray, Lord, for anyone and everyone who has ailments, Lord, that are working against their body, Lord, that as it is in heaven, Lord, it would be so in their body, God.
Amen.
We thank you, Jesus, for family. God, we pray, Lord, for every family represented here, every home represented here. We thank you, Lord, for this house, for what you're doing, Lord, here at One Life Family Worship, God, and how we get to leave this place, Lord, equipped and ready, God,
yes,
to change the world, Lord, through our city, through our families, through our workplace, God. And so we just pray, Lord, as we go throughout today, God, we would remember the cross, and we would remember that you rose again and that we are risen with you. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I want to encourage everyone to join us at our home Saturday night, 6:30 p.m. for prayer, for seeking the Lord, for opening your heart up. Maybe you're going to come with a need. We're going to pray about it and see how God's going to move in that need. And just let's just continue to become houses of prayer for all nations. Amen. 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 Love you all. Have a great day. And a happy, happy Easter Resurrection Day.